This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We have stuff to do, things to talk about. We are here to inform and entertain for the next 2 hours and 59 minutes. Mr. Durham, good morning. How are you?
More informed than entertained today, or do you think more entertained than informed?
I think more entertained than informed today. I'm saying that just to put myself in the right frame of mind, because at 10:10 a.m., me and Dr. Romanowski are going eyeball to eyeball regarding the infamous bad knee. So I'm a little apprehensive, I'd say, this morning. A little apprehensive.
Which knee is it again? The left one? Is that right?
The left knee is spectacular. The right knee's got all kinds of problems. We got torn tendons. We have bone chips. We got some arthritis.
Oh, no.
We got locusts.
I thought it was the left knee.
Gangrene.
I thought two weeks ago it was the left knee.
I can hop with the best of them with the left knee. I can at the bunny hop, Easter around the corner, I can handle it. Right knee, not good. This is for Top Golf. This is a problem, Wes. I don't know if I even have Top Golf in my future with this right knee. Just saying. What happens
if you're old? Yeah, because that's your drive, right? That's your plant.
I'm a lefty.
I know, but you got to drive with the right knee. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, now that Larry Penley's number 81, I'm kind of getting motivated for golf again. My man Penley picked up number 81.
By the way, I want to say something here. Let me say something. I know Larry Penley got 81, but we got folks from other ACC institutions letting us know that their teams are also winning too.
Yeah,
by the way,
Wolfpack
NC
Nation.
State apparently has been on the Wolfpack's been on a little golf tear.
Yeah, but I will say I am, and again, on this show we cover everybody, but I will absolutely be absolutely totally biased. When it comes to Clemson golf, I will be a homer.
Yes, it's been noted.
I will be a homer like nobody's business when it comes to Clemson golf.
Okay, so between now and 10:10, this will be the best part of Packers Day.
That's right.
Because we know at 10:10, Dr. Romanowski is going to either wheel out the long needle to drain the knee.
Ooh.
We're going to start talking about the operation, the scoping of the knee, the arthroscopic surgery, the procedure there.
Yeah, I think it's an A or a B.
And we're going to be talking, I tell you what, we could also be talking about a little physical therapy for the Pac-Man.
Does that involve an ice cube? Does that involve an ice cube?
No. Well, it involves ice on the knee after you go through physical therapy.
Oh.
Yeah. We're talking about a little rehab, maybe. A little physical therapy. Little procedure. Little go in, clean it out, as they say.
What do you say I show up?
The old right knee.
How about if I show up this morning with Josh Pastner's face shield signed with Dr. Romanowski? I just come walking in there with the Pastner face shield hobbling in there. What do you think? That'd be a good look? Hey, Doc, let's knock this bad boy out. I'm prepared today. Let's do it.
Josh would be embarrassed. I think Josh would be embarrassed that you wore his shield in there.
All right, I'll put the top hat on with the shield. Does that make me a completely perfect combination?
Yeah.
Let's get to business.
Maybe Coach Gia could send you the fencing mask ahead of time.
If I had that, I would wear that into the doctor's appointment.
No, you wouldn't.
If you don't listen too much. We got men's lacrosse. We're going to talk about some men's lacrosse later on because we got 1-2 on the men's side Thursday. We have 1-2 with the women on Saturday. The ACC is ridiculously loaded. See this right here? This is a Lars Tiffany special right here. Virginia National Championship lacrosse signed by everybody. I have put this on and driven the Ford F-150 around Charlotte with the boys. So if you don't think I wouldn't put that fencing helmet on, driving around like the Green Hornet, you're out of your mind. Do that in a second.
First of all, how would you explain to the officer on duty the wreck?
Well, there's no wreck. I'm in a Ford F-150. We just drive over stuff.
If you wear that fencing mask,
you can see fine.
Stop.
What are you talking about? How do you think they fence? Wes, when they give you the Olay here.
Because they're going... They're going straight at each other.
Yeah, but they can see what they can certainly see. It's not like you blindfold somebody, give them a cigarette, and you say, all right, go ahead and go out and fence. Please.
I'm going to leave this for the Lumberjacks. I'll leave this for the Lumberjacks.
All right, let's get to business here.
Well, and unfortunately, the disappointing finish for Louisville last night, right? I mean, things looked so good in the first half. And Jeff Walz' team was playing great. The game was tempoed exactly where they needed it to be.
Yep.
And you could tell Stanford was incredibly concerned. Second half, different story. Just different story. Stanford played more to the team that it was the number one seed and ends up winning by 15. It is you hear the term tale of two halves? It is a tale of two halves last night with the Cards and the Cardinal pack.
Here is what was so weird. You could not have scripted a better start for Louisville. Dana Evans is on fire. They've got a double-digit lead. Stanford couldn't make a three. That was a concern because they've been lighting it up from beyond the arc. You look at the halftime score. At one point early in the third quarter, it's 43-29. 43-29, right. Louisville. You're up 14. Yep. And you're thinking, okay, man, this is going almost – at that point, you're thinking, this has become almost too easy. You know Stanford's a one seed for a reason. Well, they proved it. They went 17-2 run, take the lead.
Yep.
All right? They take the lead, and you're like, all right, fist fight, game on. Somebody else other than Dane Evans I have to step up and help the cause here. All right, great. They go back and forth for a little bit. It's, you know, two-point lead for Louisville going to the fourth quarter. Right out of the gate to start the fourth. 10-0, and it's over. And the thing that was amazing about the game to me is, I mean, these are two really good teams, obviously. It's one and a two. But once Stanford gave you the punch of 17-2 and then a 10-0 run, you're like, okay, Louisville's got a run left, right? You just assume I'm waiting for Louisville's run. It never happened. It never materialized in the second half. And you go up 43-29, up 14. You end up losing by 15. And there just wasn't anything. There was not another gear. And I think that was the thing that was so frustrating watching it last night from a Louisville ACC perspective is he said, all right, listen, you knew you're going to get something from Stanford, right? You knew they're going to wake up and find it. You didn't want them to, but they did. But you thought Louisville would have that next gear to say, okay, cool. We took your shot. Now it's our turn. Just never happened. And you know, you get outscored in the second half, 52-25, and that's all she wrote. And, you know, again, a really terrific year for Louisville. But, man, you look back and go, son of a gun. You know, we're one away from a Final Four for the fourth one for Jeff Walz, and it just never materialized in the fourth quarter. Never did.
Yeah. That's the unfortunate part because you're right. They could never seem to counterpunch what Stanford did start second half.
No.
And you feel bad for Louisville. It ends up being – kind of a sideways look at the end from a scoring perspective. The game was closer than it. But, man, Stanford just opened the gates in the second half. And to be honest with you, Louisville just went cold from the floor. And the scoring and all the offensive numbers you had in the first half just were not there in the second half. And it ends like that. And that's the tough part. And Dana Evans after the game, I tell you what, talk about get out strong when she was asked about her time at Louisville. Just being able to put all this together and qualify for the media after your career ends, it's a tough deal. Here's Dana.
My 4 years here were a roller coaster. My first 2 years were great. My freshman year, I went to the Final Four. Sophomore year, we fell short in the Elite Eight. Junior year, we didn't have a postseason. And I feel like my senior year was everything I asked for except for a national championship. I've had a lot of highs and lows here, a lot of times where I kind of wanted to try something else, but I never gave up. My parents always taught me to never give up and continue to fight. And Coach Walz pushed me my whole career here, and he's still pushing me as a senior. I would just say I just grew as a person, as a player. I've worked on so many different parts of my game. The mental part of the game, Vanessa Shannon has definitely helped me grow in that aspect. So coming here, I've learned a lot about myself, and I've become a better person.
Wow.
Yeah, you're going to miss watching her. She number one, a great player. I've said this many times. She's a great player. She's a better person, mature. She has it totally in perspective. You know, she laid it all out there last night. She gave up. She scored 24. The rest of the team scored, what, 39 points? And it's just not enough. And, you know, she'll look back on her career, two-time ACC Player of the Year, accomplished just about everything you ever wanted to, other than winning a national championship. But, man, what a classy lady. And just been a joy to watch her play. It's been a joy to have her on our show and talk about all kinds of stuff. And like I said, she's going to be incredibly successful no matter what she decides to do.
Yep. Agree with you on all those fronts. And I think a great ambassador for ACC women's basketball at the next level is Dana Evans. And we wish her well. She's phenomenal. All right. Now, Jeff Walls has, we've said this, a guy who's contributed mightily to our program. We're grateful for that relationship. But last night, post-game, it got a little tricky. Let's be honest. Got a little tricky last night with the head coach of the Cards. And he handled it beautifully. Got to tell you, very Packer-like from Jeff Walls.
What's going through your mind as far as how do you adjust, how do you change the tempo maybe
Tim, hold on to that lead. Your question so bad that the fire alarm has just gone off.
That's not a first.
Is that, it's not a first. All right, good. Good. And if I see smoke, I'll tell you. But as of right now, we're okay. Okay, shh. They want our attention. Fire has been recorded in the building. There's a fire in the building. This is a first. This is an absolute first. It's pretty impressive. I'll say it only in women's basketball can you get a fire alarm going off during the damn press conference after the ball game. Anything else from anybody?
I think they're evacuating us, so I think we'll let you go.
Oh, hell no. Ask more questions, people. Go ahead and ask questions. Come on. It's the way my day's been going.
That is so great. If he's not at the Ford dealer, if he's not at the Ford dealership doing an interview with us, you know, he's talking about washing his drawers in the sink, and now all of a sudden, hey, you know, just a gut punch second half to end the year, and the fire alarms are going off during Q&A session. I mean, you know, he handled that great, and I tell you one thing, those fire alarms didn't go off in that first game down there in Texas because the Texas Longhorns put a zero, let me emphasize this, a zero on the board in the fourth quarter against South Carolina. The fire alarms had nothing to do with that game. But for Jeff Walls, you know, again, 26-4, tremendous season. But they'll look back at a tough loss in the ACC championship game to NC State. Had a great ride between those two all season long. But they wanted to get there, man. You know, they were one away. And to see it slip away in the second half like that had to be tough. But he handled it gracefully.
Speaking of no scoring last night, before we get to the break.
Yes.
Can I just tell you, UCLA and Michigan set the sport back last night?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, in La La Land, you know how much I love La La Land. They like flash and dash and, you know, all that stuff. I hope they embraced 51 points last night because that's all it took to beat Michigan. 51. And it was old school, rock 'em, sock 'em. No fouls. I don't care if your arm fell off. That's no foul. Get up and play. It was a throwback game last night. But you know what? To get it back to what we do here on the ACC, it's also, to me, watching that thing, Wes, I was at least trying to. You know, Florida State gave up, and Florida State's a really good defensive team. Florida State gave up 50 in the paint to Michigan. Michigan last night scored 49 in a loss to UCLA. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Crazy. But that's what we got. But congratulations all the men and women who have moved on. And unfortunately for us here in ACC land, 8 women's teams, 7 men's teams, and 0 Final Fours. We do keep score, unfortunately. Yep. It's the deal.
Yep. All right. Fun show today. Interesting show. Yep. And one that we're going to ask you to be a big participant in. Yep. Because once again, you know how this works. If you've been with us, hashtag Packer and Durham on social media, 844-SAY-ACCN. We're going to get into a topic today in a couple different directions. One, Jeff White's going to join us, who writes for VirginiaSports.com. Do you know what today is,
Pack? I do. It's another
big, OTD.
It's a big anniversary today in the ACC, yep. and one of the best hires the conference has mm-hmm. ever had.
Yep.
Happened today.
Yep.
12-year anniversary.
Yeah. Today in 2009, Drew Brooks and Josh McCary were hired to work at ESPN.
That's right.
No, that's not true. No. That's not true. Tony Bennett was hired today on this date in 2009 to be the head basketball coach at Virginia. Jeff White, who writes for VirginiaSports.com, used to write for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He was on the beat when the hire was made. We will talk to Jeff about that and now what has transpired. It also leads to the other conversation. And I know you did a little bit of this on radio yesterday afternoon.
Yep.
With Howard Schnellenberger's passing the other day, Manny Diaz kind of said this in our visit, if I recall, on Monday. You're talking about the founding father of the University of Miami football program, aren't you?
Yep. Howard Schnellenberger passes away over the weekend at the age of 87. And given the fact that the program mm-hmm. was in total shambles, almost totally done away with, Howard Schnellenberger took it over.
Right.
And in a short period of time, next thing you know, the Canes are playing Dr. Tom Osborne in Nebraska. They go on to win the national championship. And the rest is history. And it kind of led to a thought that in some respects, Howard Schnellenberger was the founding father of Miami football. And it got mm-hmm. us kicking around the idea of the founding fathers of your respective ACC teams, men's or women's angle here.
It doesn't matter.
You can go any direction you want and you pick it. And I think as I found out yesterday doing this on radio from a national perspective, it was fascinating that people gave it some thought and said, hey, there's a natural answer that you're immediately going to go to, and then you're going to give it some thought, and you're going to go, no, wait a minute now. That wouldn't have happened if this over here didn't happen first. So who is your right. founding father? Could be a man, could be a woman. Mm-hmm. You're calling this. Different sports, go wherever you want, ACC style.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, you ready for the founding fathers of ACC sports there, Mr. Durham?
This is going to be nothing. I mean, I'm going to tell you now, we're going to start down this road, and we're going to throw a couple things out there, and you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know good and well what's getting ready to happen.
Well, I saw it yesterday
we're
afternoon.
We're going to walk ourselves. I know. That's what I'm saying. We're going to walk ourselves into something where somebody says, no, wait a second, what about X or mm-hmm. what about Y?
That's right.
That's what this exercise is.
That's right. All right. Spin the wheel. Who are we starting with? Who do you want to start with? You pick.
Well, we ought to start with Howard Schnellenberger because that's the guy that began the conversation the other day.
No, I mean, but that was a given. We kind of set that as the standard that Howard Schnellenberger, in our opinion, is kind of the founding father. Right. I mean, he was the one that laid the foundation for Miami to go ahead and win a handful of national championships. And this is the guy that pulled the program out of the ashes. I mean, they were toast. It was over. Done. And short period of time, and like I said, I was at the game, ironically, at the Orange Bowl that night. Bernie Kosar and the Canes knocked off Miami and knocked off Nebraska, and Miami went crazy. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
All right. So this is kind of the given. All right. Now, some folks, if you're a Miami fan, you may say, guys, you're out to lunch. Yeah, we loved Howard. God bless him for everything he did for us, but that's not the end. And if that's the case, let it rip at 844-SAY-ACCN.
Okay.
All right?
All right. I'll take Georgia Tech here only because I think that you have to – this opens the door a little bit, right? And in Georgia Tech's case, you can take football because it's its most successful sport over the history of its athletic program. And for the John Heisman and Bill Alexanders of the world, who were the precursors, Bobby Dodd is regarded as one of the founding fathers of Georgia Tech athletics. Now, there's two pieces to this. One, there's the football coach Bobby Dodd, who obviously won national championships, name on the stadium, tremendous player, College Football Hall of Famer, both as a player and a coach. Then there's the Bobby Dodd of the administrative side of this. Who was one of the guys that got Georgia Tech out of the Southeastern Conference, Pack, to be honest with you, in the 1960s. And you look at it from that dynamic. There are also, you would certainly look at sports, individual sports, and look at great coaches. You've got two of Georgia Tech's all-time winningest coaches right now in successful sports on staff. Danny Hall in baseball and Bruce Hepler in golf. I mean, you think about the success those sports have had at the ACC level in particular and the national level. You could look at Danny Hall and Bruce Hepler, two current head coaches as potential founding fathers behind what Puggy Blackman did in golf.
That's where I was
and
going.
And certainly what Jim Morris did in baseball.
That's where I was going to go. It's funny. You're reading my mind because you went golf. And I was like, well, you know, there's no doubt Bruce has been phenomenal. I mean, Georgia Tech golf's been great.
Yep.
But Puggy Blackman was the guy that laid that out there first. And then Bruce has taken it to another stratosphere. And, Coach Morris now, you know, he had a run there in Miami as well. But what he had at Georgia Tech now back in the day, Jackets baseball was
that was a
joke.
Builder.
Oh, no.
And that was a build. That was a build from the ground up.
Yep. No doubt. No doubt. Yep. That's where I was going to go.
Solid.
But to me, and again, you're certainly closer to it than I am with Georgia Tech. But to me, on the surface, how is it not Bobby Dodd? How's it not Bobby Dodd?
I think Bobby Dodd, from a historical perspective, is a no-brainer. And because I think you have to remember, Heisman and Alexander had moments, and then Dodd, when college football swept the Southeast, and you know what I'm talking about, the 1950s, Dodd had Georgia Tech in the mix.
Right.
That was the... You know, the modern reconstruction of college football in the 1950s, Bobby Dodd was right in the mix. And I think that's a huge credit to his legacy at Georgia Tech. I would also, by the way, and I'm in all seriousness, I would throw Cremins in there. Mark, you know why we throw Bobby in there too? Because nobody revolutionized a sport, and it was a dormant sport at Georgia Tech with the exception of a blip here and a blip there.
That's right.
But you've talked about it. Cremins took over a basketball program that was desolate.
Well.
Okay? And came into the ACC and won one game and didn't look like it was going anywhere fast with brother Dwayne Morrison coaching. And the next thing you know, Cremins wins an 85 ACC title and Georgia Tech is ascending in a mighty way.
And to say that Bobby took over a program in the dark is exactly what it was, because when you watch Georgia Tech play an ACC game when they joined the league, their home games were literally in the dark. If Dwayne wasn't lighting a cigarette over there in the end, you wouldn't be able to tell which end Georgia Tech was at. I mean, that I don't even think they had lights in the building. I think they just scheduled afternoon games and put the curtains over just so we could see what was going on. I mean, Georgia Tech's facilities were so god-awful. When they joined the league, it was almost like, who thought this was – yeah, we know Atlanta's a cool city and everything, but who thought this was a good idea? I mean, that's how bad it was. And so when you realize what Bobby was able to build, and now you go down to a Georgia Tech game and see the facilities, you're like, holy mackerel, you don't even understand the Neanderthal era, which it was before Georgia Tech joined the ACC basketball. I mean, I'm telling you, for old school ACC fans, you know what I'm talking about. You'd see a Georgia Tech game on sale with the pilot, and you'd think there's something wrong with your television. You'd be like, man, I think we need a new television, Gloria. Look, man, there's nothing on. There's like a dark screen. No, that's a live shot from Georgia Tech. I mean, seriously, I think there was like four light bulbs for the whole court to be illuminated.
I wish we could find some film.
Oh, and people
I wish
think,
we could find some film.
You know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. It was
I know
like,
you're telling the truth.
Holy mackerel, shooting percentages were terrible. Not because Georgia Tech played good defense. Shoot, the other team didn't know where the basket was. That's why it was so hard to win down there.
You're shooting in the sun.
the sun's in my eyes. Oh, but there's a lot to pick from with Georgia Tech.
Let's go, Larry. Let's go, Larry, in North Carolina, 844-SAY-ACC. And, Larry, good morning. Welcome to Packer and Durham.
Larry, you're awfully quiet.
Larry?
You're very quiet, Larry.
Larry really had something to say.
Larry's call has started off about as good as my right knee this morning. Can we get the sound effect of Jeff Wall's fire alarm just to get Larry comfortably into the conversation? Just asking.
I'm going to give you one more going to break.
Come on, let's hear what Larry's second point. Hold on a second. Larry, what was your second point? Okay. Go ahead, Wes. I don't think Larry has a second point.
Okay. All right. Jeff White's coming up here in just a moment from VirginiaSports.com. We're looking forward to talking to him about the anniversary of Tony Bennett's hiring. I'm going to take Virginia here before we go to commercial.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
University of Virginia, founding father, Bruce Arena.
That's not what I was going to say.
Soccer.
No, he's great. No question. No great. I mean, listen, all these names you're going to hear on these topics today are big time. But that's not where I was going to go.
Five national titles, Pac.
I know. I know all about them. As little as I know about soccer, I still know all about them. That's not where I was going to go with Virginia. You ready for my answer on this? And you may call BS on this. Gene Corrigan, coach.
Oh well, yeah.
AD. I mean, he wore every hat at the University of Virginia. Just making lists, and again, you and I have not gone back and forth on this. This is all live, off the cuff. But Gene Corrigan was my pick for Virginia. The late, great Gene Corrigan. Uh-huh. One of the all-time great people and brilliant administrators. Coach, AD, the whole deal. Now, there's a bunch you could pick from.
That's a good one. I mean, it also falls into the kind of that Bobby Dodd alignment of you pick an athletic administrator.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
What Tony Bennett's done at the University of Virginia, he's created a brand, Pack.
No doubt.
Five of them in the regular season in 12 years. Everybody else, 5-56.
Yeah. Enough said there. Got the hardware. Yeah. He does it the right way. Recruits to his system. Kids graduate. He's the whole package. He is the total, complete package.
One of the longtime media observers in the Atlantic Coast Conference is Jeff White, who for the last several years, has written great stuff on Virginia's website, VirginiaSports.com, at the university there. But at the time, 12 years ago, Jeff White was the beat reporter for the Cavaliers for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and he joins us this morning. Whitey, good morning. How are you, my man?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We are outstanding, and we were just getting around during the break. Jeff, it's hard to believe that was 12 years ago, right? I mean, the success that Virginia basketball has had under his leadership, but as we kid around, there were a lot of people originally that were scratching their heads going, Virginia did what? What are we doing in Charlottesville?
Yeah, I mean, this was not a hire that was initially applauded by at least most of the fan base. I'm sure there were some people who had done their homework and were excited about it, but I think the average UVA fan scratched their head and said, what is this? Who is this guy? It was a total stealth hire and coaching search that I'm not sure could be done today.
Jeff, it also came on the heels of Dave Leto. That's the other part about this. I mean, Virginia, Pete Gillen had some blips, but Dave Leto's history at the University of Virginia was blah, right? And then all of a sudden they let him go. And then out of nowhere, Tony Bennett emerges. That contributed to kind of the unknown, don't you think? Just the landscape of the hire?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the previous two hires to varying degrees had not worked out. You know, there was no certainty that this one was going to work out. A lot of UVA fans had set their sights on coaches like Tubby Smith and Rick Barnes, and Jeff Capel's name was mentioned. So I think there was a lot of anticipation that if the administration was going to get this right, they were going to get it right with one of those coaches. So when the news breaks on March 31st, 2009, that it's Tony Bennett, everyone is like, huh? I will say, though, that, you know, people talk about winning the press conference and, you know, maybe they didn't win it that first day. But when Tony Bennett showed up at John Paul Jones Arena and met the media and met alumni and people got a look at him, I think people started to say, hey, you know, let's give this guy a look that this could work out, because there's a real substance to Tony, you know, as you guys know, and anyone who's been around him knows. And I think that came across in the initial press conference, and this was clearly a coach who had a plan on how he wanted to do things. And if you go back and look at what he said initially and see how things have actually played out, it's fascinating how closely reality has aligned with what he thought would happen and he said could happen. I mean, he didn't predict the national championship, but he said the first 2 years are probably going to be rough. Year three, we should see a breakthrough, you know, and then hopefully from there you build on that, which is exactly what's happened.
Jeff, there were two hires that immediately come to mind in the ACC that have turned out to be truly perfect fits in terms of wins, championships, graduation, the way you handle yourself, the way your kids act with the media, the whole thing. Tony Bennett, Virginia, is a perfect fit as we now look back to it. And I would say Dabo Swinney, which ironically hired nearly around the same time, have turned out to be perfect fits for their school, their fan base, what they represent, and winning championships the right way. It's amazing, right?
It is. And I think that's a factor that can be overlooked in coaching hires is, you know, the fit of a coach in the school's culture. And, you know, there have been several UVA head coaches in a variety of sports who, for one reason or another, have not really fit well and have not embraced the culture of the school, which is a little different than some schools. And I think, you know, Tony Bennett took the time when he arrived to figure out what UVA was about, you know, what it wanted in its coaches, how its coaches were expected to conduct themselves, what kind of players they were expected to bring in. You know, he's been a perfect fit because I think he did the work and this is what he was looking for. And I just think that so often in coaching hires, that doesn't turn out to happen, and which is why I think a lot of them ultimately go wrong.
Jeff, I want to do a little compare and contrast. This may not be fair, but what the heck. Bronco Mendenhall and Tony Bennett seem to be on similar paths in terms of developing programs. They've had moments. Now, obviously, Tony's had great success. Bronco, though, for the hand he was dealt, he's done a heck of a job as well. What strikes you as somebody who covered both these hires? What are the similarities about the two guys? Because they both came from, let's be honest, they both come from out west. Tony originally from the Midwest, but obviously at Washington State. Bronco comes from BYU to do something that a lot of people didn't think, I didn't think a lot of people thought he would even take a job like Virginia.
Yeah, well, for starters, I think neither of them compromises what he believes in. And each of them had a very clear and distinct plan when he arrived on what he wanted his program to look like. And, you know, initially in each case, you know, there were tough moments. The Broncos' first team went 2-10. You know, Tony's record after his first two seasons was 31-31. So, you know, at that point, neither one is a sure thing to get it going. But, you know, they don't compromise. They have Tony has his pillars. Bronco does not call them pillars, but he has the same thing in his program, things that he will not compromise on. You know, and each is admitted that his program is not for everyone. You know, they demand a lot of their players. They expect a lot of them. And, you know, Broncos' famous, or at least locally famous, motto is earned, not given. And, you know, that's important to him. And I think, you know, Tony Bennett embraces the same philosophy, even though he doesn't use those words.
Jeff, as far as what's going on right now, obviously a disappointing end to the men's basketball season. COVID, you know, like I said, COVID doesn't care. What do we take from the 2021 season for Virginia at the end of the day? What's our story?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it was obviously a very successful regular season, a disappointing postseason, starting with the withdrawal from the ACC tournament because of the COVID test. And then the first round loss in the NCAA. So I'm not quite sure what to make of it. We might have a better idea on that with a little distance from this season. It was just such an unusual season, and you know, even though the regular season performance of the team didn't necessarily reflect it because it won the ACC regular season championship, I really think the absence of fans hurt this team. You know, particularly at John Paul Jones Arena, it's just, and I'm sure every team dealt with that to a degree, but it was just noticeably different at JPJ this season with no fans in there. And, you know, for a team that prides itself on defense and is built on defense, I think those fans really play a key role, at least at home games, when the team is trying to get a stop late in the game and the crowd really comes to life. So it just seemed odd from day one. And, you know, I felt personally that the absence of fans was more noticeable at basketball than it was at football this year.
Yeah, it's a good point. That's well done. Tony hadn't changed much in 11 years, Whitey. He just looks the exact same guy, doesn't he? Maybe he's lost the tie, which is a good thing.
Yeah, he may never go back to the tie or the suit, but, you know, he is not, you know, he's not, he's consistent. You know, he knows who he is.
Yeah.
He's comfortable with who he is, and, you know, he's not going to change, and he's not going to compromise his standards. I think we know that by now. We probably knew that by year three, but, you know, after year 12, it's definitely apparent.
Well, I just hope the rest of you come around to Bennett and myself with the know who you are, no tie, no suit, know who you are. You look just like you did 11, 12 years ago. I mean, the rest of you are going to finally catch up with what Bennett and I already knew from the get-go. Stay after.
I mean, I'd love to know what he's doing with that wardrobe he had, because he had some high-level suits that he wore. And
hey, dude.
I don't get the feeling he misses wearing those, so you know, somebody's going to benefit from that.
Hey, let me tell you something. A good pair of jeans, a baseball hat, and a Ford F-150, and some good dogs, and some barbecue. That's all man needs. It's all man needs, Jeff.
There you go.
Hey, Whitey, thank you, bud. Good to see you. Stay well, okay? Look forward to seeing you in person one day soon.
All right. Appreciate y'all having me. Take care.
You bet. Jeff White covers Virginia for the Cavaliers' official website and athletics, virginiasports.com. Long time ACC media member, covered the hire of Tony Bennett. Interesting. Remember Tubby Smith, Rick Barnes, even Jeff Capel's name was on the list, huh, for Virginia.
I mean, it will go down as one of the all-time best hires in this league.
Oh.
All time. Not. Hey, that was a really good one. No,
yeah.
You make your list. Tony Bennett at Virginia turned out to be a complete, total home run in every sense. Every box is checked, every single one of them.
Some would say modern founding father of Virginia athletics.
Some would say that.
Won a national title in basketball.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
You know how we roll in this bad boy. All right, well, with some phone calls. Ready? 844-SAY-ACCN, the number. Yeah. We're going to give our opinions on all the founders here for every school, right? I know we just scratched the surface with Georgia Tech and Virginia. More guests coming your way. Monica McNutt, top of the hour. Discuss what happened in Louisville last night in the second half. But let's do some calls.
Yep.
So we're going to go to Jim.
All right.
In North Carolina. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Great. Enjoyed listening to you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
North Carolina State.
Turn your TV down, Jim. Yeah. Yeah.
North Carolina State. Everett Case, Earl Edwards, and Coach Guzzo for wrestling. Those were three big ones that we've got going right now.
I like that. First of all, Jim, I appreciate the phone call. Everett Case, that's, I hate to say it, Wes, that was what I jotted down for NC State, was Everett Case.
Sure. Earl Edwards is one that...
that's a good one, too.
I think Earl Edwards is like Jim Tatum at North Carolina in football.
Yeah.
I think Earl Edwards is one that you need to go back, look, timing, chronology, what ultimately followed, things of that nature. I think Carl Snavely at Carolina also falls under that category.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Guzzo is a good one, by the way.
Yeah, but Everett Case, to me, is the answer for NC State. Now, there will be others that will totally disagree and go, you guys are nuts. Listen, this dude right here, that shot, if you're watch this on TV, these black and white photos, this was the dude right here. Yeah, Coach Abubis from Duke.
Look at that suit.
Yes, sir. That's old school. NC State should bring back those warm-ups right there, by the way. Don't you think teams ought to go
with the flap on the back?
Yeah. Remember those?
Yeah.
Everybody flap used to have the flap.
74 team had to flap on the back.
I know. I like
those
old
right
schools.
There. Those look here. Sweet. Boo Cargan. Boo, you're the AD. You got that big apparel deal with Adidas. Kevin Keats, you watch this show. Don't act like you don't.
Those are cool, man.
I bet Elliot Avin, who's with us Elliot Avin will be on with us. I bet he'd vote for the flaps.
I love
look at
those
things. Those things were nice.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to get one of those. If somebody's got one of those, that'd look good in Packer's basement, by the way.
I'll let you keep that one. I got the NC State singlet over here. I can't top what Coach sent me, man. I got my NC State wrestling singlet. I couldn't. I love the flap though on the warm-ups. Oh, that is old school right there. But I like the call in every case. All right, should we try Larry again? Let's try Larry again. Get he's Larry called world. Back. And hopefully we got the thing worked out this time. All right, Larry in North Carolina, part two. What's happening?
I'm here this time, guys. Can you hear me?
All right. Yes, sir. Loud and clear. You sound great.
Okay, good deal. The founding father of Clemson football just has to be Frank Howard. I know number of games won. He's not. He's probably still number one, but he to me, he's the founding father of Clemson football. And even though he was the founding father of football, I can remember when the students burned him in effigy on the quadrangle. He was loved by many and despised by a few, unfortunately.
Hey, Larry, let me tell you something. Them students that didn't like me, I got rid of them. No problem. It wasn't for me. That place, I don't know what they'd be doing down there in Clemson. I brought the whole party there down there to Death Valley. My stadium, my name, looking good, my hat. You better believe I was the founding father. There it is. It's me touching my own rock. Who else can do that in the league? Nobody. Frank Hyde. I teach my boys to beat your boys. And you students don't like me? You know what? We get some quality students in here, run y'all off, send y'all to South Carolina. Y'all be working for us one day. That's how we roll. Go Tigers. You better believe Frank Howard's the guy. You better believe Frank Howard's the guy.
Can we go back to the black and white photo of him walking off the field with the tie, the pocket protector, and like three pins shoved in the shirt? What in the world were we doing with the three pins shoved in the shirt?
I'll tell you what I was doing there, Durham. Hey, Durham, I'll tell you what I was doing in pins.
Is he writing me an insurance policy?
No, I ain't writing no insurance policy. I'm drawing up some plays. There's Tim Beray over my shoulder. He was about 11 years old at the SID. He's in glasses. That's Beray. And I got my pocket protector. I'm drawing up some plays so we can beat your boys at North Carolina by 50. And that's in the first half. And don't mess with me. See these cops around me? See those cops around me? That's one of the Blues brothers there behind me on my other shoulder, the dark shades. I think that was Belushi. And the other guy on the far right, we got a cigarette hanging in his mouth. Don't mess with me, or he'll take you out too, just like we got rid of those students that didn't like me. Sent them boys, like I told you, to South Carolina.
What in the world are we doing? What in the world are we doing? Telling everybody that's Beray. That's not Beray.
Tim Beray couldn't try to get into Notre Dame. I told him to come on down here to Clemson. I'll employ you. And, you know, one of these days you're going to get some really slack boy named Packer. Call him Cheapskate. He'll be your roommate. Maybe one of y'all come out and turn out to be something before it's all said and done.
All right,
I don't know why
go.
You're
whining.
Hey, Wes, I don't know why you whining over there. I told your daddy the same thing. You bring that boys from Light Blue down here to Death Valley, we're going to wear y'all out. We own you boys. Same thing with Virginia. Called them white meat for 50 years.
All right. I can't. When you start doing Coach Howard, we got problems.
He's great.
Love him. Oh, my God. I'm hurting. All right. Monica.
Better go
McNutt
to break.
Up.
We're
going to
find us a new co-host.
Deb Antonelli on this show. Joe Brescia will be here. Holy smokes. What are we doing? Hour one already in the books. Founding fathers, founding mothers of ACC programs. We'll get to more of your calls. Hit us up, hashtag Packer and Durham on Twitter as well.
Drew, you better hurry up.
Your fault.
Before I decide to come back Drew, and take over this sorry show you boys have. How much you going to pay me this time, Packer? Hopefully more than $100 in appearance. I've been carrying you and Danny Ford for 40 years.
Can we? Is this where we go to break?
By the way,
is this where we take a commercial break?
This may be our last break at this rate.
This might be our last show, 353.
Yeah, it was a good run.
Before somebody goes, yeah, been a good run. Yeah, been a nice run.
Fathers of ACC Network going to be looking for jobs by 8:02 this morning.
Woody.
That Packerboy got one good knee.
Woody, that boy big as you. What are you doing down here?
That Packerboy got one good knee. I know I can outrun him right now.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.